Yeah. Don't listen to him. All right. I'm on page. I'm on page 42. The nature of demons.
I'm not sure.
43. 41, you say?
41 for us.
41, yes, okay. The nature of demons. All right. All right. A, their personal nature. Angelology, page 41. Their personal nature. In the middle here. Demons are not forces. I don't know what a Jehovah's Witness does with some of this stuff, because they think that there's, you know, the Holy Spirit is just a force, a power. So I don't know what they think about demons and stuff and devils. But demons are not forces or concepts that merely exist in our minds. Demons exist. The reality does not depend upon the existence and ability of human beings to conceive of them. Their personal nature is as follows. They have intelligence. They possess intelligence, knowing who the Lord is, who the Lord was while he was on earth. Mark 1:24. Let's go there. Let's look at a couple of these scriptures. Mark 1:24. Start with Barry again. You can start there. Mark 1:24.
Saying, let us alone. What have we to do with thee, thou Jesus of Nazareth? Art thou come to destroy us? I know thee, who thou art, the Holy One of God.
All right, this is a devil speaking inside this demon-possessed man. And he's one of many. And they say, I know who you are, the Holy One of God. So they possess intelligence. They even know their own doom. Look at Matthew 8:29, John. Matthew 8:29.
And behold, they cried out, saying, what have we to do with thee, Jesus, thou Son of God? Art thou come hither to torment us before the time?
Fine. So if you talk to your cat, you talk to your dog, you talk to your budgie, what does the budgie know? I'm hungry. A budgie only lives in the present. It's alive, but it has no intelligence. It doesn't know the future. It doesn't know, you know, what your name is. Maybe you can teach one of these birds, you know, those kinds of birds called that they can mimic you, you know. But but here this demon knows their own eventual doom. They also know what the plan of salvation is. Go to James chapter 2 verse 19. Why do they think that's worship?
It's false worship.
James 2:19, Romeo.
Thou believest that there is one God, and thou doest well. The devils also believe and tremble.
Yes, right. He didn't just say you believe in a God. It says there is only one God. I mean, there's some particulars. And these devils, they know the plan of salvation. We got a woman who was demon-possessed walking behind Paul one day, and she said, these be... I forget what they... The servants of the Most High God, they declare to us the way of salvation. They even know what salvation is and how to get there. Get it. Now, number B, they have emotions. They exhibit emotion, especially when confronted with judgment. Now, we read James 2:19, we go to Luke 8:28. James, I'm sorry, Luke 8:28, Eric.
When he saw Jesus, he cried out and fell down before him, and with a loud voice said, what have I to do with thee, Jesus, thou Son of God, Most High? I beseech thee, torment me not.
Wow. I mean, that's a demon saying, don't touch me, don't get near me. They have wills. Look down in verse 32. You're still in chapter 8. They can express their own will. 8:32.
And there was there an herd of many swine feeding on the mountain, and they besought him that he would suffer them to enter into them, and he suffered them.
So they had their own decision. They said, don't send us away into the abyss. Let us go here. They had their own choice. They have wills. They have personality still in there. Look at verse 27 to 30. Barry.
And when he went forth to land, there met him out of the city a certain man which had devils long time, and wear no clothes, neither abode in any house but in the tombs. When he saw Jesus, he cried out and fell down before him, and with a loud voice said, What have I to do with thee, Jesus, thou Son of God, Most High? I beseech thee, torment me not. For he commanded the unclean spirit to come out of the man, for oftentimes I had caught him, and he was kept bound with chains and in fetters, and he brake the bands, and was driven up the devil into the wilderness. And Jesus asked him, saying, What is thy name? And he said, Legion, because many devils were entered into him.
Okay, so he's got a name. He has personality. He's got lots of personal pronouns attributed to this guy. He's not an it. He has some personality, this speaking demon. Number E, their personal nature is they are spiritual. In contrast to flesh and blood like you and me, demons are spirit beings. Ephesians 6:12. John.
By wrestling not against flesh and blood.
Ephesians 6:12.
We wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places.
Okay. So, nevertheless, they're localized, even though they're spiritual. They're not like gas that spreads throughout, you know, atmosphere. They're localized. Since as creatures, they're limited and not infinite as God is. Generally, they're invisible to us human beings, though on occasion, their presence was apparent through various means. The difference between angels and demons are this. Demons can't seem to appear. You see angels appear as men. You don't see devils do it. Devils have to have a human body in order to
inhabit.
They have to inhabit a human body in order to physically
interact with the world.
Yeah, interact with the world. Whereas angels can appear as men and interact with the world. That's why I believe that demons are not angels. They don't have the same characteristics to the nth degree like angels do. So, let's just forget the next one. We got to go to the B. Their intellectual nature. Not only do they have a personal nature, they have an intellectual nature. Demons show great intelligence, as would be expected from such a high order of beings. They knew who Jesus was. We read that in Mark 1:24 already. Intellectual nature. They realize their own eventual doom, as we've already said. They know the plan of salvation. I want to find the verse in Acts. That's a better one. I don't know why I used to, but it's somewhere around Acts 16:17. They develop and promote systems of doctrine. Look at 1 Timothy 4. 1 Timothy 4, Eric, verses 1 to 3.
Now the Spirit speaketh expressively that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils.
Devils speaking, have doctrines, yes.
Speaking lies and hypocrisy, having their conscience seared with a hot iron, forbidding to marry, and commanding to abstain from meats which God hath created to be received with thanksgiving of them which believe and know the truth. For every creature of God is good, and nothing to be refused if it be received with thanksgiving.
Good. So intelligence, they develop and promote systems of doctrine and activity that will apparently increase as the end of the age approaches. So intelligence can be enhanced by experience. Every demon, of course, has existed throughout all the span of human history, though each one has not observed everything that has transpired throughout history. Their longevity gives an added dimension to their native intelligence. You know, if you live 400 years, you get pretty smart. If you live 4,000 years, you could read people like a book. They have observed human beings in almost every conceivable situation. Therefore, they can accurately predict what individuals will do in most circumstances. So some woman claiming to be a clairvoyant, you know, a fortune teller, some familiar spirit. Here comes somebody, and she's a female, and she's crying, they've been watching her. The demon can give the clairvoyant all that they need to make this woman believe that she's talking to her dead husband. because they've seen it all. They've watched her. They can put all the things together. They don't have to be omniscient. They just have to watch and then go, huh, I know what she's going to want. Tell her that her husband wishes she was she was with him. You know, it's just funny. Number C, their immoral nature. Their immoral natures. Demons are designated unclean spirits. Their immoral nature. Demons are designated as unclean spirits. Matthew 10:1. We're back to Barry.
When he called unto him his 12 disciples, he gave them power against unclean spirits to cast them out and to heal all manner of sickness and all manner of disease.
Okay, they're called unclean. Unclean is filthy, sinful, wicked. Unclean is just dirty spirits. We talk about somebody having a dirty mind, dirty mouth. Well, that's unclean. So, also called evil spirits, Luke 7:21, John.
And in that same hour he cured many of their infirmities and plagues and of evil spirits, and unto many that were blind he gave sight.
Now John, why wouldn't the Bible just say unclean, unclean, or only evil, evil, evil spirits? Why use the word unclean one time, evil another time? Why use different words?
It's an opportunity to teach or to broaden it'll teach you something more every time they use a different word with a certain kind of angle, I guess.
Yes. And people don't realize how amazing the Bible is, because it will describe, I was teaching discipleship, how God describes his word using 8 words. Law, commandment, precept, what were some of the other words? Testimony, statute, word. It's all referring to the word of God, but it gives you an understanding of depth of the Bible. And even your King James Bible comes along and doesn't uniformly translate one word a certain way so that you get a better meaning, because one word won't adequately describe a Greek word or maybe a Hebrew word. So sometimes it'll be a different word used, even though the underlying Hebrew word or Greek word is the same, so that you get a fuller meaning, because one word doesn't exactly mechanically define or help you understand that word. So as you read along, you get the fuller meaning. And the new Bibles come along and they say, well, that's not uniform translation. I've read that so many times, you just get sick. They're not even uniformly translated. But they want to find a fault with the King James Bible. But the King James Bible self-interprets.
The English language itself, to a degree, is not very articulate like some of the other, like the Greek expressive languages.
Mm.
So we have to have different words to convey what it is we're
That's
trying
a good
to
thing.
Say.
Yep. So, just want to see, just the use of unclean spirits, evil spirits, in one place, as the spirit of an unclean devil, in Luke 4:33, and even spiritual wickedness, in Ephesians 6:12. All of these terms clearly indicate demons are immoral. Here are some observations of one who is deeply involved in spiritism. He said this: the spirits I encountered at seances were, for the most part, very moralistic. They encouraged us not to smoke or drink or do anything else that would harm our minds and bodies. Ministers were told to preach morality, good manners, and civic pride. I knew ministers who actually had spirit messages taken down by their secretaries and then used them from the pulpit. The spirits often talked about an ethical Jesus, but never about the Savior who died a sacrificial death for sin. In contrast to the high moral and ethical tone of the seances in our home, I attended some where the spirits were blasphemous and sensuous. So he talked about both of them. Sometimes based on their design at that moment, they were very moral. And other times they were very blasphemous. But this is a guy named Ernst who wrote a book called I Talked with Spirits back in 1970. And it just surprises you. I mean, these are immoral nature, and yet they act moral. And that's what Paul says in 2 Corinthians chapter 11. He says they are ministers of righteousness,
right,
but they're demons.
So all the modern religions that were started by spirits or saw and said, it's good stuff, but then they looked at us apart.
Exactly. Isn't that funny with the Mormons? They're out there saying, no tea, no coffee, only one wife for eternity. Until you get to return, then you can have 5 million of them.
But it's just deception, really. That's all it is.
It is.
Take your eyes off what the only thing that counts is the cross.
Exactly.
Take your eyes off everything else.
Yes.
The fellow when he came to the house, he was focusing not on the God. He was focusing on the teaching of the book what the writer has written. I said, my told Mr. not to entertain him, keep him out of this.
Amen. Yep.
Not coming at all.
No,
right.
Amen.
Quite right.
Bible says not to have anything to do with him.
Because we'll go to your next door neighbor and say, I was talking to Romeo, I had a good chat with him.
Yeah.
And you sure they're
not coming.
They're deceptive.
Number D, their powers. They're strong. At times, demons can exhibit superhuman strength as they work through human beings. The demon-possessed maniac of the Gadarenes was able to break all shackles and chains. The sons of Sceva were overpowered by one demon-possessed man in Acts 19:16. Let's go to Acts 19. Who just read? I think John, you read Luke 10:21. So Romeo, you got Acts 19:16.
And the man in whom the evil spirit was leaped on them, overpowered them, and prevailed against them, so that they fled out of that house naked and wounded.
All right, that's how powerful these demons are. They're intelligent.
Seven sons, was it?
Seven sons. They were all trying to have the. They're trying to use the power of exorcism, trying to kick out this demon. The demon kicked them out.
So okay. One man beat up seven so hard that they actually run out naked.
That's right. Total defeat. So they're physically powerful. They're intelligently powerful. I've already mentioned their superior intelligence. But the question always arises: do demons know the future? And certainly, they can understand the plan of God for the future as they find it in the Bible. Now, does Acts 16:16 indicate they could predict the future? Let's look at Acts 16:16. And Eric.
And it came to pass, as we went to prayer, a certain damsel possessed with a spirit of divination met with us, which brought her masters much gain by soothsaying.
Okay, so here's 16:16 and 17. Here's this woman, and she's got the power of divination. Okay, and divination means you can tell the future. But I don't think that she means that she's actually able to do it. I think she actually does it through a demon.
A certain damsel possessed with a spirit
of divination. The question is, and I don't know how to answer it. The question is, can they actually tell you what's going to happen to you in the future? You're going to be run over by a car tomorrow. can they actually determine, can they actually tell you the future? She has the spirit of divination, which is the spirit of fortune telling. Does that spirit have the spirit? And I think they're just very good at being able to tell you just enough of what probably will happen.
Well, they talk about the White Witch of Cove. You know, that people ask things, or she might be mentioned in the newspaper, what's going to happen. But I don't know what the percentage is.
It has to be less than half.
Because the law of probability,
that's right.
It has to be 50-50 anyway.
Yeah. So it just puts your mind at rest and you go, they don't know the future. They only know the future when they're going to be judged, but they don't know the details about who you're going to marry and how many kids you're going to have. They don't know that.
But, you know, before I get
started. But they can tell you what you want to hear and you will believe with all your heart, you actually go out and do it. You can have three children. You'll probably have three children if you're told that.
It's like you said with these demons, as they get older or they're around longer, that they can see human behavior. Because before I got saved, I used to read the stars in the newspaper.
Mm-hmm.
And what they are really is just general things. You know, so for your, what was mine, Aries. You know, so in Aries this week is going to happen, so and so. And it's generalized, you know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So and it's
just enough
things that you want to hear anyway.
That's it.
You hear that guy, the magician, the Irish guy, he's done Keith Barry or something. Mm-hmm. He's making predictions, though, apparently. He predicted that some pop star is going to break up with her husband within a year. It's like so obviously going to happen. And he predicted that.
But it's Justin Bieber will go to court again. Yeah,
but that's another one of those things it's like a self fulfilling prophecy. Once he says it's going to happen, media and everyone else picks up on it and feedbacks to them. And it's what are you up to?
I think that's why the Bible is so superior, because Jesus, the God on purpose, did not write prophecies that were so clear that Jesus could have self-fulfilled it. Said, oh, by the way, you must put the nail right here, you know. He couldn't fulfill those prophecies that clearly. It's not possible.
That's why Scripture says we have a more sure word of prophecy.
Amen.
So, their presence. Demons are not infinite. They are limited, and they are only creatures, albeit human ones. Certainly superhuman ones. Apparently, they're not present everywhere. Yet they're not restricted as humans are by the natural barriers of space. Here is Luke 8:30. A legion, 2,000 of demons, dwell in one man. The very fact that demons can enter humans or animal bodies shows they can pass through barriers that would restrict human beings. However, the very large number of demons may make them seem to be everywhere. Though that is not so. Yet Satan, working with them, can use their number to attempt to promote his plans everywhere. Now, there are limits to their powers. Job 1 and 2. Let's just look at a few thoughts here. Job. Alright. Let's see who just read. Alright, so there you're in Job chapter 1, and if you would look in verse 6.
There was a day when the sons of God came to present themselves before the Lord, and Satan came also among them.
Keep going, all the way down to 12.
The Lord said unto Satan, whence comest thou? Then Satan answered the Lord, and said, from going to and fro in the earth, and from walking up and down in it. And the Lord said unto Satan, hast thou considered my servant Job, that there is none like him in the earth, a perfect and upright man, one that feareth God, and escheweth evil? Then Satan answered the Lord, and said, doth Job fear God for naught? Hast not thou made a hedge about him, and about his house, and about all that he hath on every side? Thou hast blessed the work of his hands, and his substance is increased in the land. But put forth thine hand now, and touch all that he hath, and he will curse thee to thy face. And the Lord said unto Satan, behold, all that he hath is in thy power, only upon himself put not forth thy hand. So Satan went forth from the presence of the Lord.
Alright, so Satan has to seek permission from God. As a matter of fact, 1 Kings 22 describes an evil angel saying, I will put a lying spirit in the mouth of these prophets. But they had to get permission from God. So there are limits, thankfully. Or else every time you're driving the car, the devil will be flipping your car over and trying to kill you. Honestly, if it weren't for God having strict rules of how much power they have, we'd be dead at least 3 times a day. You can only die once a day. It's all right. So their powers, they have to be a part of God's will and plan, or else they're not going to be allowed to work at all. Number 5, they have covert appearances as devils. Sorry, there are covert or hidden appearances of devils as aliens. There's your first one.
It's all filled in.
Is it all? As good people,
yeah.
As apparitions, and as thoughts in your head. They appear as all kinds of different things. It's funny how all aliens, the last 100 and some odd years, all look alike. And I don't think that's accidental. I mean, some people actually are copycats. But some of this stuff, demons have a vision or a visual they want to project.
And well, the aliens are actually real things.
I think they're real.
But you said that a lot of demons can't manifest in human, or in the body.
They can appear as a thought and as a vision, but they don't have physical.
So I think aliens are physical. It's like just it's
or
in the sense of an
or I'm really wrong, or I'm wrong, and that is that aliens might actually demonstrate they are able to take on a form, but because aliens aren't in the Bible,
no.
All right, I can only go so far as the Bible, but there are some people who've encountered aliens of the third kind and sort of. And you go, if somebody is actually being picked up by an alien and carried into a spacecraft, it probably is just a dream. But if they were able to actually, I mean, when one of these days, if some spaceship did ever land, and they may be able to land one day, it will not be an alien from Alpha Centauri. It will be a demon. So maybe they are able to appear in physical form. I just never find it in the Bible.
But okay. The aliens that we're talking about today, no one has ever put their finger on it and touched one. No one's ever touched a spaceship. They just see them. They move quickly, and then they just disappear.
Mm-hmm.
I remember a guy called John Hepworth lived up behind you from near Detroit somewhere, but he reckoned that because they're in another realm that they're able to break through, and that's why you can see them, but you can't really say that's exactly where they're sort of touching.
Right.
And then they move quickly, and it says then they just disappear. He says it's just a theory, but he reckons that's them just back into the other realm. That's why they disappear just like that out of sight.
Yeah.
But he believes that as well, that all aliens that they talk about are actually demons coming from the other realm.
That's right. And they can travel very fast because they're not...
And they're only an apparition. They're only an apparition as well.
That's as far as I'm able to take it. That's exactly right. So to sum it up, demons are not humans. Neither are they angels. But they are superhuman with super intelligence, and they have experience and great powers. To deny the existence of demons is not skepticism. It only displays ignorance. To be unrealistic about their power is foolhardy. So the duties of demons. The activities of demons are quite diverse, but they're always directed toward the promotion of unrighteousness and ultimate destruction of that which is good. Their activities parallel those of Satan to a great degree, including the promotion of his program, the opposition to God and his program, the oppression of mankind, the opposition of the saints, and ultimately will be overruled by God. Now, the promotion of Satan's program. In general, demons are Satan's untiring and devoted henchmen. I don't know how to wear them out. I know I can block them. I can ask for a God to put a hedge of protection around my family and around me. But they are Satan's untiring and devoted henchmen, minions. Now I know what a minion is. Groom. Never mind. To organize, to accomplish their common purposes. Now, they are an extension of Satan's power. Because of his creaturely limitations, he's only one person, Satan must extend his powers through his angels. They obey him, and they serve his purposes. He is their God. Matthew 12:24. All right, John, Matthew 12:24.
But when the Pharisees heard it, they said, "This fellow doth not cast out devils, but by Beelzebub, prince of the devils."
All right, now the idea is Beelzebub is a prince, but Satan is the god of this world. He's a prince in the power of the air. He's the overall prince. And it's not kind of, look at John 12:31. It doesn't look right, Luther. I've got to write that in right. Let's see if it's right. John 12:31.
Yep,
yes, right. Yes, there we are. Now we're connecting.
Now is the judgment of this world. Now shall the prince of this world be cast out.
Okay, so that's not Beelzebub, that's Satan. So he is their God. And then Revelation 12:7. But we'll just go on. Other activities for Satan, we know two important aspects. One is their industry. They're very industrious. Evil spirits never cease in promoting satanic deception and wickedness. They participate in the character and devotion of their leader to his evil ends. Job 1:7, Satan says, "Let me at him." And 1 Peter 5:8 says, "Be sober, be vigilant, for your adversary, the devil, walketh about as a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour." So they have great industry. And they have influence.
Isn't that quite a strong word, though, devour?
Yes, sir. Christians better wake up, because we're being devoured, left, right, and center. Their influence. Satan is not omnipresent, omnipotent, nor omniscient, but his presence, power, and knowledge are greatly extended through his... He's the original networker. He's got multi-level marketing to its best. He uses incredible teamwork. Because of this, satanic power is felt in many places simultaneously. And I tell you, I'll say this. I don't know how to describe it. But let's pretend like this is Ireland, okay? A big potato. All right, and we're down here in Cork. All right, and you got Galway up here, Limerick, you got Belfast,
yeah.
God's country. Okay. God's country.
Forgive me.
Dublin. All right. So you got all these different areas. All right. But I've experienced enough where, you know, up in Galway, they do these Druid festivals, and Donegal's got quite a Druid festival at October 31st now. There's a big, they go all out with their festivals of the dead. And I think that stuff kind of creates waves. Now, based on righteousness, Belfast can stop that thing, right? It doesn't spill over. But all that thing up there in Donegal, it actually affects a lot of people. Galway, what do? They got the Druid festivals. And they start, like, waves of demonic influence spread going through. And we're down here, we don't feel it. But if you moved up and you spent a week up in Galway, you'd feel it. There's a demonic spirit there. Because they're localized. There may be 500 million demons all working up there trying to get people angry at God and turn away from God and worshiping false gods and stuff like this. I don't understand it all. I just know I felt the waves.
But there's,
I mean, I had a church in Macroom, and the spirit up in Macroom is different than here. And I just, with just the people.
You mean Mallow?
Mallow.
That's in Macroom. Mallow. And man, just the way I have a couple of guys. Huh?
Was there a worse way than here?
Yeah. There's something I don't understand. Yeah, I don't understand it. But I had a couple of guys in my ministries, man. I've had a couple of guys. I call them my
thorns.
No, they're my storm buoys. when they start ding donging, man, I go away. I could see them going south. I go, man, we're being hit. And within a week, bunch of people all struggling with disappointments, depression, fighting among themselves, just darkness, quitting on God. And as my little storm buoy, man, started it a week ago, man, he picked it up. He just collapsed. And it just happens. It just is weird. But that's how they're like air. I mean, you know, I can open this real quick, and air begins to blow, and all of a sudden, a few seconds later, you feel that air hit you. Well, that's the range. That's the range of their effect. Okay, they just don't electrify the entire island. They work from a region. That's why our little light can affect a lot of people as we keep being.
Because the light shows up in the dark.
Amen.
You see, Ireland, it's permitted with localized spiritual or darkness influences all over Ireland, everywhere. Even in Northern Ireland, which they talk about the last bastion of Christianity, it's almost dead now. But there are even Christians there who believe in little charms. And so you go to the local white witch and she'll make up a charm and you carry that and that will make you well in a week or so. So there's all sorts of localized things.
Yeah.
Like even the Puck Fir down there in Kerry. You know, it's all localized, and it all permeates the whole of our society.
Well, because people don't even think about it, and they don't resist it; they are succumbed to it.
But even Santa Claus, you know, it all has a bad influence on everything, like materialism.
Yeah,
you know, it's destroying
people. What's the way to overcome this kind of forces? Is a God's word to be stored fully in their brain system with the power?
Yeah, you've got to hide God's word away, store it away, and then you've got to believe it. See, the thing that saves you is you believe the gospel. The thing that gives you the strength against the devil is you believe the truth.
Keep the gospel attack.
Because he's a liar, and you must have something that repels a lie. He's a murderer, and you believe life. You believe. I heard a guy, it was really brilliant. I actually used it. I heard a guy said it so succinctly. You know, you're talking to somebody, and somebody's dealing with depression, and they're wanting to commit suicide, and they think God's angry at them. And that guy we were watching on the thing that you downloaded, he said it so breathtakingly. He says, God poured out all his wrath on his son. He's not angry at you.
Well,
and it's just breathtaking. It's just breathtaking.
That's true.
And people got, once they know the truth, all of his wrath was poured out on his son. He's not going to pour it out on you, not unless, talking to Christians. You're not saved, it's still on you. But if you're saved, he's not going to pour out his wrath on you. Man, just take the truth and repel the darkness with the truth. It's really cool. So, Let's see. Number three, expressions of satanic philosophy in individuals. Satan has a philosophy to cause men to walk according to the philosophy of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air. Demons must be actively involved in that very process. Look at Ephesians 2. And Romeo, if you will read Ephesians 2, verses 1 and 2. And I would say this, if you went to India, and you went to some of the outside towns, not to New Delhi, or is there a bigger town than New Delhi? Is there a bigger city in India than New Delhi? What's the biggest city in India?
Bombay.
Actually,
it is. Textiles.
It's massive, huh? It's huge.
Factories.
Yeah. Say you went out to the country, especially you're in the Hindu section, and you're walking through there. Tell you what, you wouldn't go very long before you'd feel choking. You just feel like it's dark here. They need the gospel here.
In north and all, it's all Hindus, but south are all transformed into Christianity. South side.
Understand? No, I'm talking about if you went into the Hindu section.
Because full gospel is there for them.
Yeah.
Continuous meetings.
Amen.
Amen. All the pastors come.
I get invited every couple of months. Somebody says, you must come to India. And I go, I don't know this guy.
South is all transformed.
Yeah, but the north is very dark.
North is they're building up.
Yeah, if you went to Bangladesh and you're walking there and all the Muslims, and you just feel choked. It's just dark.
Islamic country.
Go into Nepal, and it's dark. It's just, man. All right. We're in Ephesians 2, 1 and 2.
And you, He made alive, who were dead in trespass and sins, in which you once walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of power of the air, the spirit who now works in the sons of disobedience.
Okay, so in the time past you walked according to the course of this world. I don't know what the course of the world is, but what is the last part of this? According to the prince of the power of the air, meaning he's guiding. There was a time when he got your feet to go like a puppet, and you walked away. You didn't even know what you were doing. But he was getting you to go according to his plan, his ways. And that is a satanic work. The promotion of fleshly desires, sensual pleasures, pride, materialism comes from a satanic, demonic world system. John 16:11. Yeah, right there. John 16:11.
Of judgment, because the prince of this world is judged.
So, there is the idea is that there is a system that is controlled by the prince of this world. And that's what we call culture. I had a revelation there years ago, and I'm trying to figure out, what is this world? The world, it says, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. And I'm sitting there thinking, what is another word for world? And then it hit me, culture. Whatever culture you live in, whatever the spirit of the age is, go against it. Because the culture you're in, unless it's in a church, and even then you got to be suspect, perfect cultures don't exist. You got to go according to the Word of God, and the spirit of this age, the spirit of this world, is our culture. So that's demonic. In political governments, demons work, I believe. Satan and his demons are working behind the scene and determining the philosophy, the course, and the actions of world powers. I'm watching this stuff over in America with that 300-pound black teenager that was shot. And I mean, the attitudes of whites against blacks are becoming so aggressive. I mean, just any crossword, if you don't say anything just right to somebody, the anger gets up. More division than ever. That's demonic. It's not of God. That's Satan come along and stirring this stuff up. So everybody's like, oh, you know, get rid of guns, get rid of police. It's like, what? Anarchy. Oh, yeah, there's a concerted effort to allow people, it's being abused and saying that police have too much control, get rid of police, let people just take care of themselves. No, I believe in the right to own firearms, but I believe you need to have police. or else you will have anarchy. So, number C, a world system. The devil's work in our world system. In every culture, the devil is at work. A spiritual world system extends Satan's influence through demons and men. So to control the world, demons organize and cooperate in large-scale warfare under Satan, their leader. So sometimes you read about these battles. I mean, this is just Ireland. But you read about the old battles where one king, Brian Boru, you know? He fought against all these other little small kings and chieftains all over Ireland. Some of that stuff was demonic. You got the Battle of Hastings, and you've got the War of the Roses. Some of that stuff that went on and on for 60 years, that wasn't of God. The Crusades, some priest going up, God wills it, let's take Jerusalem. That's of the devil, man. They're going slaughtering Muslims. They slaughtered tens of thousands of Muslims on their way down to Jerusalem and then died there. These wars that go on, maybe even the war in Afghanistan and Kuwait and Iraq, I think that's a spillover of a spiritual battle. I think a lot of that stuff, you gotta just question, why are we there? That's going and fighting some of this stuff is demonic. Number C, they provide an opposition to God and His program. Satan and his demons are opposed primarily to God and secondarily to man in the following ways. They promote rebellion. That's why music. What does music make you do? I mean, you're listening to that stuff over there. It made you agitated. Remember when you were unsaved? And I don't know if you ever listened to Judas Priest, Black Sabbath, or Metallica. Led Zeppelin. I used to listen with my friends to Led Zeppelin at 2 a.m. in the morning. And the music would make us so we couldn't go to sleep. We'd sit there and we'd stare out the window at the black, listening to stuff I don't even want to remember. We're like, I can't sleep now. And I can't either. This is great. We were stupid. But that's demonic. He would promote rebellion. Nobody would say, go to bed. Man, I'm not going to bed. I'm listening to my music. Positing, having fun with peace. Positing slander, promoting idolatry. Rejecting grace and promoting false religions and cults. First of all, he would promote rebellion. Number two, promote rebellion. I mean, look down the middle there. You know Genesis chapter 3 where Satan convinced Adam and Eve to rebel against God. But look at 2 Thessalonians 2, 3, and 4. It says, that man of sin, the son of perdition, who opposes and exalteth himself above all that is called God, above all religions, or that is worshipped even, so that he as God sitteth in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. That's his desire to promote rebellion. Positing slander, number three, slander. One of the characteristics of the devil is as a slanderer.
What's positing mean?
Positing means promoting. To posit something is to present it.
Presenting
slander, promoting it, making it important. Demons undoubtedly participate in slandering God and His Word. Slander God. From the beginning, the devil slandered God and said, is God really good to keep you from this tree? He's slandering God. He would cause men to blame God for, you know what everybody says? If there was a God, he wouldn't let that two-year-old die of cancer. If there was a God, that's slander. The old days, they used to call that blasphemy, to attribute sin to God. And then they slander men. Be careful how you tear each other down. James says, these things ought not to be so, where you bless God and curse men. B, since demons are able to affect the thoughts of the mind, they may cause self-incriminating and condemning thoughts. Things that go into your head need to be kicked out. The answer to any condemnation is found in Christ's advocacy, his defense of the believer. As we confess, and we get cleansing. Promoting idolatry. Number four, promoting idolatry.
Sorry, what is that verse? Is it 1 Corinthians 10:13? Casting down.
Nope. 2 Corinthians 10:5. 2 Corinthians 10:5. Promoting idolatry. The Bible points to demons as the dynamic behind idolatry. We read that where it says when they offered to idols, they actually were sacrificing to devils. B, the same is true in the New Testament. Does the Old Testament the reality of other gods? There are no other gods. They're only demons. So somebody who says, I have my own God, you're looking at them and saying, no, you have a demon. You ought to be that bold. Somebody says, I have my own God. No, you have your demon. And that demon will take you straight to hell. Yes. So number five, rejecting grace. Satan and demons abhor God's grace. Isn't that what Jonah did? Jonah said, I knew you were a merciful God. I knew you would have grace on the Ninevites. That's of the devil. And this was a prophet of God, possessed with a demonic thought, I want you to destroy the Ninevites. Just like James and John said, do you want us to call down fire and burn them up? So, they hate, abhor God's grace. They're incapable. They themselves are incapable of repentance or being saved themselves. They'll never understand grace, and they don't want man to understand. Therefore, they hide, cloud, and twist God's grace, and they make it, according to Jude, make it into lasciviousness, which is, well, God lets you do, get away with anything. Let him let you just live in lust. So Satan seems to have instigated or encouraged Cain to refuse to offer blood of a sacrifice. Satan undoubtedly uses demons to blind the minds of the unsaved, to keep them from seeing God's salvation. He misconstrues the true purpose of the law, making it that, well, I'm trying to be good. Well, that's satanic twisting to make you think that by doing the law, you'd earn heaven. Try to get you to follow the bewitching of false teachers. Demons cause men to depart from the truth of grace and promote doctrines of works righteousness. And so on and so forth. I'm trying to get to the last year, number six, promoting false religions and cults. Isn't that funny? I mean, if I were the devil, I'd want everybody to worship me, but that's not his goal. What is his goal?
To turn away worship from me.
That's right. You know, his goal is to hurt God.
But losing us.
If you want to hurt me, get my wife not to love me. Get my wife to love you or love another man. That will hurt me. And if the devil can get you to not love and worship God, it doesn't matter if you worship anything else, it hurts God. In promoting his lies, Satan demons work outside, inside and outside true biblical religion, including using world religions and cults. So how come there are 25,000 different types of Christianity and different groups? Because the devil doesn't care. He'll make another one a day. He'll make a new one a day. He doesn't care. He'll give a vision to Joseph Smith and then Joseph Smith's grandmother. It doesn't matter to him at all. Just as long as people don't worship God. Number B, the New Testament warns us against heresies and cults that distort the truth and never even retain some of it. Somebody says, well, I take the best from all religions. You're demon-possessed. Number seven, last one. They temporarily promote atheism. Now, this is the wildest one that's recent. It never was a big thing up until the last, I'd say, 100 years. Last one, number seven. They temporarily promote atheism. Satan, as we read there in 2 Thessalonians, we already read it, he seeks the destruction of all that is called God. He seeks to destroy everything that is worshipped. So he's not so foolish to only want creation to worship him. He knows he is only going to be destroyed. He knows he's going to be defeated. He's not delusional. He really and only seeks to destroy the worship of the true God, because he believes that only then can Satan's bitterness ever be satisfied. So Satan uses every avenue to get mankind to turn away from God. So he uses religion, false religions, and he'll even use atheism, because there are means. By the fact that you say, I believe in God, what are you saying? I'm not going to worship him. I'm not going to honor him. I don't want to fear him. I don't believe he's there. Well, that's stupid. It's like saying, I don't believe in germs. You're going to die of Ebola one day. Just go right on down there to Liberia. Just go down there and kiss that baby. Go right ahead. I don't care.
That's it, so I don't believe it.
That's right.
But there is evidence there.
There is evidence. And same thing with God. But to an atheist, he goes, nope, that's proof. I'm an atheist. You know, I'm not religious. And that's all. You go, is devil behind atheism? He sure is. Because their God is themselves. Their God is their own belly. All right, any questions? We've got to stop there. I think we're making good time, though.
How to chase the demons?
Say again?
A man is possessed, the devil, evil possessed.
Right.
In a house. How to chase the devil in that man. We have to go in fasting prayer with the God's word, be dedicated for that. Or we have to stand for the God's gift of chasing the devils for 7 days, fasting prayer, and get the God's word in our heart and mind, and chase the devils. Is that the just asking?
And I'm not sure. I know that you do have to fast. I don't know, 7 days. That may be very important. Extreme you may have to go to. 7 is pretty tough. You do have to confront the devil. You have to confront the person who let the devil in. See, if that person's possessed, the devil does not, unless they're unsaved. And we're dealing with a Christian. And a lot of people don't believe that Christians can ever be possessed of a devil. But I do, and I know it. So you got to rebuke, and you got to deal with that Christian who's let that devil into his life and his mind and his heart. And then you wrestle. The Bible says you wrestle against spiritual wickedness. And I don't know all the details of how to win that thing, but each one of them got to give you grace. If you're going to take them on, you're going to get bloody. You're going to get beat up. But if that's your child, or if that's your friend, or if that's somebody that's important to you, you got to be willing to do it. Demonic spiritual warfare either will destroy you or it'll make a man out of you. Most people are not ready to be made. They're babes. They do not know how to handle demonic attack. And if you ever see somebody who's demon possessed, it will scare you to death. I mean, truly demon possessed, it'll scare you. So yeah, I have a whole section on that I'm working on, and I've stopped because I don't have a handle on how to deal with demon possession. I just know it's got to be faced at some point. Every Christian's going to deal with the devil showing up in your life. He did with Jesus. He showed up face on. You got to know how to resist the devil. And Peter says, "Whom resist steadfast in the faith." But I, instead of me going around, you know, like I'm in war and in combat, the Bible doesn't say to you know, be in fear. The Bible says, submitting yourselves, therefore, to God. Resist the devil and he'll flee from you. So I try to keep right with God so that I have very little attack by the devil. It's when it's in somebody else's life. That's tough. That's tough. Because sometimes people don't want the devil to go. They don't want to give up their bitterness. They don't want to give up their anger. They don't want to give up their food. They don't want to give up their depression. They don't want to give up their porn or their lust. They don't want to give up their girlfriend. And if I made a couple and they're living together, right? They're both demon-possessed. They're living together. They're demon-possessed. That's not of God. Oh, we're saved. Man, you may be saved. I'm not going to judge that at this point, but you're definitely going to live it. If you're living together, you're demon-possessed. Until they want to be free, I can't kick the devil out. I really, you know, I don't have it all figured out. I just know that as you approach that stuff, the pattern doesn't all make sense to me. But you'll deal with it. You'll deal with your children. You'll look at them and go, "You're not acting sane. You're not acting spiritual. You're full of the devil. How do you kick him out?" I don't know. But you're going to have to one day.
Or what exorcism?
We see exorcism claims to have a power over that devil. I know this. Jesus Christ had it. The apostles had it. And I know I can battle it in my life, but for me to battle in your life, it's going to take fasting, prayer. I'm going to have to deal with that demon head on, and I'm going to have to deal with that person who let that demon run their life. And it's kind of hard. It's
the only part that we have is prayer and God's word.
Yeah, but there
in Jesus' name. That's the only part.
I know, but there is something the Bible calls about wrestling. The Bible uses the word wrestling. And
yeah, because you're going to be under attack when you're
exactly. But you're you need to wrestle that demon out of it. What he's using is the word exorcism means to wrestle him out of that person. And I'm not convinced that I know anybody who can do that. I'm sure there must be some people.
So do you think that power is no longer available?
No, I never said that. I do believe that that power is available. I do believe that power. I think it's a very limited gospel that we preach if by the preaching of the gospel people don't get delivered from demons. I believe that the preaching of light, the preaching of the gospel, just by itself can kick out some demons. I believe by just preaching the Bible. The Bible says... Let all bitterness and wrath and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice, and be kind one to another, tenderhearted. I believe by preaching that and by compelling, like John did, compelling, this is what you've got to do, that the devil has to move out. Squeeze out. Resist the devil and he will flee from you. That's a New Testament truth. So teaching people and equipping them so that they can fight.
Yes, but there's people not able to say, I want this devil to go.
I know.
People not
that gets complicated. That's why I don't say, let's in our Bible class, let's have a class on exorcism. I don't know how to do it. I just know some people may have that ability. And I would sure, I tell you what, I would sure, if I had that ability, I would sure fine-tune it and help some of us deal with people who are demon-possessed. I think our culture is so full of the devil. We're so used to it. We just think this is how people are naturally. I don't believe it. When the Bible says when a child is disobedient to their parents, I believe they're full of the devil, man. I don't believe that it's just natural.
Influenced maybe by the devil?
Well, no, I'm dead serious. That they are not only influenced, I know, but there are thoughts going in their head. The devil's given them. He's in their head.
Well, yeah, I can understand.
Okay, they're not controlling them.
Yeah, I agree with you that.
But it will.
In their head. But
if they don't get that thing dealt with, they will be possessed. So, yeah. All right, let's stand this prayer. Heavenly Father, we deal with one of the most awful subjects in all the Bible, and that is devils and demons and Satan, darkness. But we deal with it from a victor, from a conqueror standpoint. We've already conquered. Lord, that kind of puts our heart at rest, that when the devil attacks, he's a loser. He's already lost. And he's a liar. He's a deceiver. He's going to attempt to deceive us and our families, that he has power, and that he's going to win, and that he's right, and that they are right to do all the things that they're doing. But he's a liar. God, I pray that we would stay very close to you and that we would get our families to just walk with you. Because that's where our power is. Our power is not in the exorcism like it is in the daily walk, in the light, in fellowship with your Son, in under the blood of Jesus Christ. So please, Lord, wash us, cleanse us. I pray the rest of the day we would just, Lord, we'd walk in the light. We would encourage one another. We would bless one another. We would bless your name. Because we love you. Thank you for loving us and teaching us these things this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you.